You're listening to TJ Talks. This podcast probably is going to contain a lot of explicit language, so you're forewarned now. Welcome to TJ Talks. I am Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
Welcome to Monday.
Oh boy, beautiful Monday, right?
Absolutely. So you're recording from the West Coast, but not in the typical Ontario studio. Where are you at? Are you allowed to
tell? Correct. I am in the beautiful, yes, of course I am. I'm doing my part to keep it weird, and I'm broadcasting to you tonight from Portland, Oregon.
Wow, Portland, Oregon. What is Oregon known for?
Well, legalized marijuana. Woohoo! And they're very well known for being full service, don't you know?
Really? You mean like they pump your gas?
Yes, that's the only full servicing I'm getting while I'm in Portland, but it is, yes.
They're like the New Jersey of the West Coast.
Trust me. For a Southern California girl who has pumped plenty of gas pumps in her day, it is a really nice luxury to pull up and say, fill her up, son, and have some guy pump your gas. I know it sounds silly, but it really is a nice little treat.
What do you think the reason is that they do that in Oregon? I mean, it's a law that you cannot pump your gas.
Correct.
It's not an option.
Good question. Off the top of my head, I would think, well, maybe they're worried about environmentality, you know, people spilling gas or whatever. Not that the operator who's doing it is not going to make an error ever. It is a nice way to keep people employed.
Do you think it was an employment thing?
I bet it's probably more that now than anything else.
I mean, what would else be the rationale for...
There isn't any, because 48 other states don't do that. New Jersey, I believe you're correct, and here in Oregon. I don't know anybody else that does.
I mean, I wish that the only thing that really makes me mad at gas stations, do they check your tires and all the other stuff when you pull up, or is it just they pump your gas?
I don't think I'm cute enough to warrant that much full service, so I only get the gas.
Please do not step out of the car.
But, you know, Portland's famous for their voodoo donuts, right?
Right.
So, and of course, I'm on my Atkins diet, hot and heavy. So I don't think I'm going to indulge in a donut, but I am going to go by there tomorrow and just smell the sugar from outside.
You're going to put your face up on the glass and
press my nose against the glass and look at the maple bacon donut and just wistfully pine away.
That's the delicacy, right? The bacon donut.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I will never get that, but
well, everything is better with bacon. I completely agree with that. I don't know that donuts are better with bacon, but okay, I'll try.
So reminds me of that meme. Now
you know what I need, Judd? Though what? You know what I need?
What?
I need a fucking travel agent. I have yet again booked the wrong date, the wrong flight, the wrong. I can't. When you go on a website for the airline, and I usually 90% of the time fly Southwest, mm-hmm. you put in your departure date, and then the little calendar thing pops up for the return date. Mm-hmm. And either I'm clicking the wrong date, or while I'm looking for flight times, I click the next day to check or whatever. But here again, I thought for sure I was coming home from here on Wednesday night, and nope, it's scheduled for Thursday. So I got to find another thing to do in town or change my flight and come home early. I have done that probably 5 times this year already where I've scheduled myself incorrectly. And I thought, you know, this is why I need a travel agent or someone who does this stuff. Because between me and Expedia, I'm just not getting it right.
Is that the site that you use, Expedia?
Well, I use Expedia for cars and hotels if I don't book directly with Marriott or, you know, whatever. But and I usually book everything on the Southwest thing. It's not that the website is difficult. It's absolutely user error. I'm just laughing at myself that I can never get my ducks in a row. So we'll see what day I get home. I was supposed to come home Wednesday night, but my flight's not till Thursday. So the joke is I would have driven to the airport Wednesday night and expected to get on a flight, and they would have laughed at me and told me to go home. So I come home.
Are you flying Southwest?
I'm on Southwest.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should get on there now to see if you can change your flight.
I've looked at changes. I changed it to earlier in the day because that was where I could get the best rate. But, you know, and then everything's a fee and blah, blah, blah. It just made me giggle. Oh, well. I need a travel agent. And that is like video store owner, it's a, you know, a deceased occupation. No one does that anymore.
Yeah, very rare to find a travel agent. Have they all gone out of business?
I don't know anybody who does that for a living.
I remember there was a point in time when the internet, you could get a license and you could be an internet travel agent and they guaranteed you all this awesome opportunity for travel. And I was going to do it. And I was like, oh, but I can get really cheap travel for myself. And then I would be like selling travel to other people. And it was going to be awesome.
It was a get rich quick, huh?
It was travel for free or very inexpensively. By being operated. Really what it was a pyramid scheme to get your, you know, $1,000 so that you'd get a license number. And then if you didn't sell it enough, they would pull your license. So it was a lose-lose. Lose $1,000 and the license.
And no free travel.
And no free travel, right.
Talk about no full service.
You know what you're better off being? You're better off being a travel writer. Write about all these places. And that's where the money is.
Okay. I'll travel blog.
Travel blog. You know, you go to the Portland, you write about, hey, I was here, blah, 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 blah. The business travel writer.
That could be fun. I would have a fun spin on that. I am I'm not shy for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's weird to travel so much alone. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely paints your opinion about the places you go, and maybe it limits it too, right? Like I don't venture out a ton of places because I'm by myself. If I had someone else, I might be even more adventurous.
I can understand.
Who knows?
Yeah. Wow. So we've already killed right, half so the
what,
show.
What are we going to talk about? Yeah.
Okay. We just had a little bit of edit. I'm going to have to make there. We had a little.
Yeah.
Thing, but okay, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Monica Lewinsky, who is in the news, and we're going to talk about the bubble run. Somebody was running in bubbles. We're going to talk about shit you get in the mail, and I got a box of stuff. then we're going to talk about the state of music. And a little show and tell here locally. And that's what we're talking about today. So stay tuned on TJ Talks for awesome talk. All right, Monica Lewinsky. That's our hot topic, our hard topic today. So I'm going to let Teresa give us the gouge on that.
So Monica did a TED Talk recently where she spoke about the events of 1998 and subsequently, you know, when all that stuff went down, no pun intended, but sort of, with her. She is 41 years old. Did you know that? I didn't realize I was as close in age to her, albeit I'm older, I get it. I didn't know that she was I didn't know she was 41. And she, like Princess Di, in my mind will always be 22. Because Princess Di will always be whatever she was, 30 and beautiful when she died. Monica Lewinsky will always be that woman when I have that instantaneous thought of her when I hear her name.
Okay. There's something I want to say here kind of for the record. I always hear everyone talk about how ugly she is.
She's not.
And I was just going to say she is not ugly.
She's quite attractive. She was chunky, I think, back in the day.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, pretty apparent. She doesn't necessarily – she doesn't look as chunky now proportionately to how she did then. I think she's very attractive. She doesn't have any aging signs. In fact, she looks very much like she did when she was that age.
She looks pretty good. I'm not going to – there's no denying it in my
Absolutely.
Opinion.
Absolutely.
As a guy looking at her, I'm thinking, I don't think that – there's some shame going on there. This podcast is going downhill quick. All right,
so
I'm sorry.
She relays a story about a recent speech that she gave at the Forbes 30 Under 30, and it's 30 millionaires under the age of 30 years old. And of course, she was a 41-year-old giving like a keynote address at this meeting. And she said, flatteringly, she actually got hit on by a guy who was 27. And the 27-year-old, who knows that she's 41, was, you know, plying her with compliments and being very sweet and really putting the work into hitting on her. And she said the fatal pickup line that he tried to use was this. And he told her, I know I'm 27 and I know you're 41, but I can make you feel like you're 22 again. Now, for anybody else and for any other woman in their 40s, hearing a young guy say, I'll make you feel like you're 22, would be a huge turn on and probably a successful line. But her stint on it was, there's no way in hell I'd want to go back to being 22, because that's when everything blew up for her with the Bill Clinton scandal. And that she's probably the only woman in her 40s that would never want to go back to being 22. And then, so she relays what happened to her, and she really claims to be, self-proclaims to be the first victim of cyberbullying, right? The internet was newly emerging as a news source and a place where people were going to for news and information, as well as newspapers, TV, other print media. You know, the internet was sort of evolving around this news story, and she was the subject of obviously all kinds of torrential proclamations and people casting aspersions on her character and her, you know, all the things you say to women of who have this sort of scarlet letter on their forehead. And she heard them all and heard them quite violently. Now, the social media aspect wasn't alive and kicking the way it would be now. So she did save herself from that humiliation. But we all know that woman suffered in a way that no one can really understand. And she, you know, had thoughts of suicide and this and that. I think her takeaway from the talk was that she's come out of it. She's now advocating for cyber awareness in this way. And also has always been an advocate quietly now, or quietly up until now, for women's rights and this kind of thing. So I applaud her doing this. I think she's never going to not have this asterisk by her name. And in the way that someone like Kobe Bryant, who was a famous basketball player, but also had a small rape scandal, we can argue the rape validity and all of that, and I guess that was proven not true. But that asterisk is very low on the list of things that he's known for. Whereas for Monica, her infidelity with the president is always going to be the first thing people think of when they think of her. Regardless, she could cure cancer tomorrow, but she'd be Monica Lewinsky, cancer cure and presidential blowjob giver. Like, she's never going to shake this.
Yeah, but I think part of it is because she hasn't done anything but been known as an intern. That's it.
Right. Well, she went into hiding and was reclusive. She had a handbag line and she tried to have some businesses. Yeah. I will say this, as opposed to a Kim Kardashian who did nothing but cash in on a sex tape and create this whole persona based on, you know, her career launching with the sex tape, Monica Lewinsky never embraced that life. There were never rumors of her doing porn or posing for Playboy or any of that stuff that a lot of those women who had those scandals bust out about them did.
Right. Like Jessica Hahn did that.
Right. Right.
That's a great example. Yeah.
She didn't do that.
And of all the people who could have got money, she's probably somebody who could probably still get money.
Can you imagine? You know, she's written books, and I'm sure she does all right. She probably trades on her name to some degree in that regard, and I guess she's entitled to. I think she's done her time in the court of public opinion, and I think people need to let it go. But sadly, I'm sure they won't.
So her last name is Benghazi.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, she got Lewinsky'd in Benghazi. So
I'm telling you, Lewinsky gate, Benghazi gate. I don't know, everything. Somehow we put some.
I mean, when you
suffix
think about
to
it,
things, you know.
Even Bill Clinton, you know, the Lewinsky scandal is up there, but it's not the first thing you think of when you hear any retrospective about his presidency. And of course, you know, he's been a contributing member of society with his Clinton global initiatives and all that. So he doesn't bear the scar the way she does.
Yeah, but he has plenty of other scandals to contend with.
That's true. He spreads the scandal around.
Right. You know, he's got Whitewater. He's got, you know, there's all of the McDougals and all of this stuff that they attribute to Bill Clinton. So she's one of multitudes of things that people want to talk about. And that's why they're all flipping out with Hillary possibly running for president. And, you know, and now with this whole email scandal, I don't know what to think about that, to be honest with you.
Right.
Does it matter?
Well, it is what it is, right? So, but let me ask you this. What could she do, Monica?
Yeah.
Like you said, Bill Clinton's got a bunch of other scandals, so she's just, you know, one of a dozen.
Yeah.
What else could she do to out-scandal herself? Like, I don't know who she could sleep with or have potential oral sex with. The Pope? I mean, who else do you...
Well, but
how
I mean,
do you
what,
top the president?
Does she, but does she have to do a scandal? Why can't she
just
do really...
I'm just saying along those lines, if you're going to use that logic that one scandal can out-trump another, and you know, people are going to have more than one, what else could she do to out-trump that?
She could go to Hollywood and just sleep around.
I don't think that still carries the same weight.
Really? She'll always have that ace in the hole? You know, when they're playing poker, who have you slept with? I slept with Charlie Sheen. Oh, yeah? Well, I slept with the president, so fuck you. Bam, I win. Is that how it works?
Isn't that the deal, that never have I ever game? She can't really. She can either really win or not really win. I guess she could have an affair with Hillary. Now that would make things spicy.
Some people think that's not out of the question for Hillary. And I'm not saying that, you know, as a, some sort of weird, you know, like some
perverted guy who always wants to think women are lesbian.
Yes. Yes. No, that, I mean, there's some real thought that there's the reason why she didn't leave Bill Clinton over this scandal was because she had her own business on the side.
Yeah, I think we would know that more true to form if that were really the case.
Yeah.
I just think in this day and age of cameras everywhere, email everything, everything's tracked, everything's GPSed, everything's everywhere, there's no way to be secretive about anything anymore.
If you're a high-level person.
If you're high-level. Hell, if you're low-level.
Yeah.
You've heard about the stories where people are running red lights. And, you know, there's a red light camera at an intersection.
Yeah, there's
so your
three
picture
of them
gets
here
taken.
In my town. Yeah.
Right. And then your picture with the, you know, adulterous woman or the mistress that you're having the affair with in the front seat of your car gets sent to your house. I mean, you can't, there's no way to beat the system on that stuff. It is what it is.
Man.
Talk about the universe having it in for you. If that's how you get caught in your affair.
That's awesome.
But I will, and I'll also say this too. Like when you book a hotel or you stay in a hotel, then you get no less than 5 emails about your stay is coming up. How was your stay? Please rate your hotel. Like if you were trying to hide emails about a hotel rendezvous, there's no way because you're going to get 15 emails about, please tell us what you thought of the DoubleTree and rate the housekeeping and all this and that.
Make sure that you use your primary email address for that kind of shit.
This is what's wrong with people. People aren't smart enough to figure that stuff out.
I mean, come on. You're supposed to use hidingoutwithmymistress@gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
That's what you book your hotel with. I mean, everybody knows that. I feel like I'm, you know, Oliver. What's his name?
That's funny. So in the day and age of everything is everywhere and everybody knows everything, it you can't hide anything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So she gave a TED Talk and it was well received.
I have a feeling we're going to see her more and more on the forefront in these sort of public venues. Maybe she's got some political aspirations behind all this. Who knows?
You know what I would really like to see is her as a political analyst.
As a pundit?
Yeah. Well, no, as an analyst, which is different.
Okay.
Like, you know, you watch ABC or any of these news shows, and they approach it more from a journalistic aspect rather than from a editorial aspect that they're not
James Carville or Mary Matlin, but more Stephanopoulos.
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of.
Okay.
With insight, but giving you more of a well-rounded opinion. I guess it's all conjecture, but sure. But you want it conjecture based upon facts rather than just, you know, your own bias.
I'd be curious at what she'd have to say. You know, who knows what she knows?
She probably knows a lot.
She
touched the button probably when she was in the White House.
Oh, she touched a button, all right. Yes, uh-huh. She did.
But I had my hand on the trigger, so.
With her uvula.
That's right. Touching it. She just didn't know. Down there on the submarine pressing buttons.
Right. So, speaking of presidential scandals, have you finished House of Cards season 3?
Fuck no. My mom has.
Oh, Jed, get on the stick.
My mom told me, she said, have you watched it? Have you watched it? Have you watched it? That's why I tagged you in that particular post about the marathons. I figured my mom was already going to be looking at that.
Yes, anyone who hasn't gotten into House of Cards, it's amazing. And the end of the season is stellar. I think next year is the last one. I've not heard that other than the idea that there's only 52 episodes or there's only going to be 52 episodes. So it would end next year.
That makes sense. House of Cards. Okay, I got it.
Correct. 52 cards, blah, blah, blah. So yeah. I think they've timed it just right. But, once you see the end of it, in maybe 6 months from now when it's safe to talk about it so we don't have spoilers for listeners.
Do we have to wait that long?
Or you have to watch it first. I don't know how long it's going to take you.
I don't know. Maybe I'll figure out a way to watch it. If I watch one episode a day, maybe, you know, I come home from work and
I can't stop at one, though. That's the hard part. Especially when it says the next one will begin in 12 seconds. Then I sit there and keep watching. I love it. I love Netflix. God bless it.
I know. All right. Let's move on to our next thing. We've completely shattered all politics today with Monica Lewinsky. So, Let's run it down, the bubble run.
Okay, so I participated in a super fun event last weekend. It was a 5K race at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Remember that concert venue when you served in California? Well, now it's the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater because everything has to have a sponsor. But it was a fun run, and of course, nothing philanthropic about it. No goodwill to the universe at all. It's just pay your $40 and you run and get colorful. But you literally ran through these foam machines. They would dump mounds and mounds of foam on you, and it was different colored. And you would run through the foam, and there was fun music. And, of course, there were 9,000 runners, so it was quite crowded. And it was 5K. So in some of those events, they're more about running or not. This one was more about not running. And specifically for me, I wasn't super trained for it either. But the foam was fun, and you could stand there and dance and take pictures, and it was very fun.
Was it timed?
It was timed, but I'm sorry, it was not timed. You're right. It was not timed. Okay. And regardless, even if it was, there's no way. I mean, people just were, because the whole point was to go through, take your time getting through the foam part, because the foam intervals were every, you know, mile or half mile or whatever, and to get colorful. So. Uh-huh. Have you done a color run? Yeah, have you done one of those?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, those are fun, right? This was a different take.
Do you think it was better than a color run? Yeah.
Yes and no. I thought it was super fun, but the wetness factor for your iPhone and your camera aren't great. So I took a lot of video through a plastic baggie. Mm. And then I didn't think I got as colorful as the color run makes you. but my feet are still stained. So I guess if that's any indication that dye
your skin got stained.
It's not on my feet. It's still a little bit colored, which is kind of strange. Not what that color? I don't shower. Now it just looks like old, like Easter egg dye that you mix all together, right? Because you went through red, green, yellow, purple, whatever. It was fun. It was, and anytime you have 9,000 people doing something fun, it's a good time. It's a shared moment in humanity. I think that's kind of why I like these events. So, that it, you know, it doesn't do anything good. It's not bringing any greatness to the world, but, you know.
Guys or girls, what was the percentage mix? Mostly women? Or
I think it's
even
probably
mix?
Mostly skewed towards women, but there were a lot of guys there.
Yeah. All wearing white?
Everybody pretty much wore white. It was one of the few times I considered wearing the race shirt, but I had a different shirt that I wanted to run in. So, yeah. But the whole point is to get colorful.
So it's kind of like a wet t-shirt contest.
You know, the foam wasn't, like when you're running through the foam, it wasn't wet, but the floor was wet, the ground was wet, and then it got kind of weird. So, yeah. But this holds nothing to what I'm training for now. So I'm training to participate as one of 12 members of this Ragnar relay race. Are you familiar with the Ragnar series?
I'm not, but I've heard a little bit about this story.
So Ragnar is a race, and they're usually 200 miles total. And you participate with, like I said, there's 11 people, other people on the team. So it's a team of 12. Everybody runs at least three legs of various lengths, and you combine all that together, and we're going to get from Huntington Beach, California to San Diego in the course of 2 days, essentially. So I've got fun legs. I'm doing like 3-4 miles. It's the most I have to do. And we rent two vans and everybody goes, and then you have meetup points where you switch off runners and the next guy takes off, and you do it continuously, and you don't sleep unless you sleep in the van or you sleep, you know, on the side of the road somewhere. So I'm curious as to how that's going to work out, because although it's not a huge long distance, it's a super long period of time that you're up and being physically accountable. I'm really excited about it. I am undertrained for sure. So I've really put the spurs to myself to get trained. And then, of course, we've got our half marathon in May.
The Ragnar run?
The Ragnar is the 10th, 11th, and 12th of April.
Oh, so it's kind of like a pre-marathon, half-marathon training. Well, you can do that because you're only talking.
And I signed up for it back at the end of the year.
So what do you got, 6 miles to do out of the 100?
I think for me it's going to be a little over 10 or 11 total in the three legs that I have. But one of the legs is supposed to start off at 1:05 in the morning because, you know, in theory they time it and you put your mileage time in and they stagger the starts. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be fun. And it's a great group of gals that I'm doing it with. A lot of friends, and my friend Jen from China is coming. And so it'll be a great experience. And it'll certainly be fun to tweet and text about while I'm doing it.
So does one van just go way up ahead and wait for you guys? And then the other one follows the runner? Just behind the runner?
Right. Well, yeah. Really slow. And then no, they don't run right behind. Like, we'll drop a person off, and then we'll go to the next meetup point. You don't follow them. So
the runner's out there by themselves, just running?
Correct. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I know, right? I'm curious as to how it's all roped out.
More just the 1 o'clock in the morning type of running at dark.
Well, there's a million teams, right? Well, not a million, but you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of people on the course.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, they do tell you got to wear a headlight and all that stuff. So, you know, we'll see. I'll have video from the event, I'm sure. You know me, I'll tweet and text about the whole thing. So it should be fun.
Cool. That is exciting.
And a good way to get in shape. You know, it's always fun to do these things and have a motivating factor.
I know. I got to get a long run in. I need to get a 5 mile, 5-6 miler in this by this weekend. Really, I'm so behind in my
training.
Yes,
you do.
I'm gonna. Well, I'm doing yoga now. You know.
Oh, okay, good.
And there's this yoga mistress. I don't know. Is a female yogi called a yoga master?
I don't know what they're called.
I'm gonna have to ask her. I'm not going to let her listen to this podcast.
I love it.
But I did tag her in that post. She's the one I tagged in that post, by the way. She's a triathlete. Yeah. Or no, an, she, yeah, she's a triathlete. There's another girl I met. She's an Iron Man woman. Oh, my God. All the people in my Cocoa Beach Runners, Walker Runners Club, they're all like animals. They're like, so I'm just hoping it doesn't rain on Thursday so we can do yoga on the beach. Kind of like
that. How funny. Fun. So, I'm glad you're doing it. Get your zen and your chi all focused.
Yeah, I'm trying to get flexible. You know, I want to get my legs behind my head and crazy stuff. No. I just want to be flexible. Uh-oh. I think it's important that, you know, you can touch your toes and shit.
Couldn't pay me to do that. But yes, my arms are too short. They don't reach my toes.
That's my problem. I've always blamed that. But anyways, so that's awesome. The bubble run sounds great. And there'll be lots more. And anybody who wants to come out and cheer us on at the Disney race, you are welcome to come out to beautiful Anaheim Stadium on May, 11th? Mother's Day weekend? On actual Mother's Day, we'll be running.
No, it's the 9th. It's May 9th. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
What?
Isn't it May 9th?
No. Nope.
Okay. Or maybe it's May 10th.
I thought it was the 10th, but then
you
I was
be
like,
right.
But then I was like, it's Sunday. Our race is Sunday.
Yes.
So it is, yes, it is the 10th.
10th, okay.
So May 10th.
Oh, that's right, because the hotel reservation is for the 9th. That's what I'm thinking.
So, yes, come out May 10th to Anaheim Stadium or somewhere along the trail and cheer us on to victory. And victory is nice. Just crossing
finishing.
The finish line. Yes.
All right, what's All next? Right.
What's next? Well, I think we're going to talk about this darn box. You know, it all started off with not getting a box of crap because there's this website called Woot.com. Maybe you're familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
They have one deal a day. They have one item, then they put it on sale for ridiculously low price, and then they sell it until it sells out.
Okay.
Well, every once in a while, they'll have this thing that they put up there, and it sells out like in 5 minutes, called the bag of crap. Literally, that's what they call it. And what they do is they get stuff that's in the warehouse, whatever, and they throw it in boxes, and then they just ship it off. And you have no idea. It's a mystery box of stuff. It could be random anything. And I've always wanted a bag of crap. Always.
A mail order bag of crap, too.
A mail order bag of crap, because they're like $5 and you get like, $50 worth of stuff.
Okay.
So it was like a good deal. You're like, oh, well, it's like winning the lottery in a little way. You know, it's that little moment of magic. Ooh, I got a bag of crap. Right. So I'm like, I think there was a site that did sell real crap, but I know that was a whole nother thing.
To send to your enemies, maybe, yes.
I don't remember what it was. I think it was cow manure or something. I don't know. Anyway,
gotcha.
So anyways, there's these sites out there that sell like book, like there's the Book of the Month Club, Jelly of the Month Club, all these kind of things that you talked about earlier. So there's the Geek of the Month Club in a way, and I got this thing called a Loot Crate Box. You don't know what you're going to get until you get the box. It's a box. It's
okay.
This month it looks like a, standard box, like a book would come in it. And it's black and it says Loot Crate. And inside this month I got a whole bunch of cool geeky things. So I'd like to tell you about some of these cool geeky things real quick. So I got this cool t-shirt. I mean, that right there is $5, right? And you can see, can you see the logo on there?
Yeah.
And it says, it looks like a James Bond. It says, "This is stirred." And
that's, he's holding a martini.
He's holding a martini, yes.
Yes, and looking sad that it's stirred, not shaken.
Yeah. I got a thing of Mad Libs, but these are spy Mad Libs. The whole theme of the box is spy this month. And everything kind of secret agent. So that's
did you know it was going to be spy themed when you got it?
Yes, they told you what the theme was for the month. I got this cool watch that you press it. somehow. You press it. Hold on. Ah, there you go. And then it magically displays the time, and then it disappears off the display.
Okay.
So, and then I got this. What do they call these things? Survival bracelets?
The survival bracelet, yes. Because that's what every nerd needs.
Every nerd needs a survival bracelet. With the appropriate Loot Crate logo wrapped around it.
How much did this Loot Crate cost you?
Like $15.
Oh, okay. All right. So far, you've come out ahead. Okay, good.
So far. I have a shield collectible from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is actually...
Now you just opened it. You've ruined it. It's not collectible anymore.
Oh, whatever.
You can't play with the toys in the box. You've got to keep them hermetically sealed.
Oh, whatever. So this is a... this is the official badge that Patton Oswalt wears in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's certified to be awesome, right?
This is pegging out pretty high on the nerd Richter scale.
Is this high on the nerd Richter scale?
This is pretty high. I don't know.
Well, hold on. You're going to like the next thing I show you. The next thing you're going to say, okay, you have to send that to me because now I want the box. After you see the next thing, you'll be like, yes, it's mine. Okay, here we go. Then I got these two items. They were wrapped just like this. I'm going to wrap them up so you can see exactly what I got. It came just like this.
Oh, you got field notes. You got some Moleskine books.
They're from Field Notes brand.
Right, right.
And see, and that, the, yeah, look. They're like Moleskines.
Yeah.
And see, it comes with this band. It says classified. And then when you look and you pull the band off, this was kind of cool. So it's confidential. Let's see, and one is ruled, and the other one is
grid. Sweet.
Yeah. So you got one of each right there. That has the date inside.
$15 right there.
Hey, I'm not hating on these field notebooks.
So this was your. Now, what is next month's theme? Do you know?
I don't know yet. And then on top of that, I got a Orphean Black comic book that's sealed that I have not opened, and I got a free free download for a digital comic as well.
You gotta save that.
So that right there, I mean, $15. Heck, the box is probably worth $5 that it came in. So that's all what I got this month. Loot Crate.
fun. All right. Well, next month we'll have to wait and see what you get next month.
You know what I should do? Next month, I will wait until we podcast, and I will unbox live on air the Loot Crate.
This will be like the opening of Al Capone's tomb. Remember when Geraldo Rivera did that, and it was a big bust?
Yeah. What do you mean? That's all you got? That's it?
Tax evasion. That was all they got him on. So nothing more glamorous than that. All right. Anything next on our list or?
Yeah, State of Music.
Oh, I was going to ask you this. You know, I'm exercising more. I'm listening to the damn iPod again. So what are you listening to these days, Judd? Are you just listening to your same old 80s and 90s classic rock? Are you in anything new? What are you doing?
Well, occasionally I'll hear a pop song that really is making me move and I'll add that to my playlist, but I pretty much keep with a lot of the same music. Although a friend of mine who used to run, he's not running so much anymore, turned me on to the idea of listening to podcasts when I'm running. And when I do my long runs, and I didn't start to do this until I trained for my dopey thing. And when I was out there doing, after I hit 10 miles, I was like, music out. I was done listening to music. And I needed something else to distract my mind for the miles. And the podcasts are awesome for long, long runs. When you just are done with here's the thing. And I didn't really never put this together until I started running really long runs. music changes its beat depending on the song that you're listening to. So your tempo and everything is like dun, 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 dun. And then you listen to a new music song and then it's fast or slow, or, you know, it has all sorts of dynamics. And that's hard to exercise to when you're trying to keep a rhythm and a breathing type of thing.
Right.
When you're listening to people talk, you're no longer trying to match this thing going on. So you can actually concentrate on your running a lot better when you're not trying to, you know,
meet that cadence or whatever.
Yeah. The only bad part is that it doesn't help you run faster. Music tempos will help you increase your pacing. So
right. Whether you want to or not, you will naturally do that. Yes, I agree. Yeah.
So on the short runs, that's great. But on the long runs, where you just got to get the miles in and it's about a finishing, like we've talked about, then the podcasts are great. So that's what I do.
Now, are you a fan of Pandora or Spotify or any of that stuff?
I listen, my big thing I listen to is iTunes Radio.
Same thing as Pandora in theory.
Which is basically Pandora. The reason I use it is because I pay for iTunes Music Match. So since I buy a lot of music on iTunes and I have a lot of CDs that are in my iTunes Music account, it uploaded them all to the cloud and I can listen to any music that's in my account on my iPhone. I can stream. I've got over, I don't know, 5,000 songs. And so I pay to have access in the cloud to it all.
But in your phone though, you have playlists though, correct?
Yeah.
Separate of that you've created.
Yep.
All right. But in your most recent playlist you've created, was there any song from this decade even?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I listened to Fireball. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, you know, come on.
Okay.
And then, and I've got that song, Shake It Up. And I got It's All About That Bass.
Oh, okay. So you are playing the pop tunes.
Yeah, hell yeah. I play some pop tunes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So in general, though, do you think there's any song around now that's going to have the same kind of validity and lasting power that... I mean, not that our 80s music was great, but some of that stuff holds up. Some of it doesn't. But, you know, is like All About That Bass going to hold up in 10 years or 15 years or 20 years? It's not, right?
It's a one-hit wonder. It's no different than a modern English's I'll Stop the World and Melt With You.
That's it.
Because you tell me a song.
It's indicative of the time and space it was released, but it's not ever going to last.
Well, I mean, that one song lasts. But you know what? Modern English, I saw them play in concert here in Melbourne about a year and a half ago. And they played song after song after song that nobody knew. Nobody in the whole crowd knew a single modern English song. And then they played I'll Stop the World and Melt With You. And it was like, oh, my God, there's the song. And then they went back to playing stuff that nobody knew. And the crowd dissipated after they heard their one song. Yeah.
Yeah, because what else are you going to be there for? It's like the Thompson Twins or Howard Jones or any of those revived 80s bands.
Hey, at least the Thompson Twins has 3 one-hit wonders.
They're a three-hit wonder.
They have 3 hits, right?
I don't know.
It's Akash and Goo Goo that's a one-hit wonder.
I have a friend that I would consider a human jukebox, and he can, you know... name a song or come up with a song for any occasion, any situation or whatever. But frankly, our ages skew us towards our music. Mm-hmm. So modern music isn't really a thing. So occasionally if I'm playing something from my playlist or iPod, he'll actually comment to the fact that there are no musical instruments being played in this song. It's just all digital equipment or computers making the music. And I thought, yeah, I hadn't really thought about that, that not only is the music not lasting or worthy of, you know, really critical acclaim, there's also no instrumentation to the whole thing.
Really? Like, what kind of music do you listen to that I'm unaware of? Embarrass yourself, please.
A lot of my strip hop and my gangster rap that I love, and a lot of it's, you know, produced and sampled, I think is the terminology, and filled with curse words and horrible things, and I can't get enough of it, right? It's all, really? It's what I like. So,
wow.
So knowing anyone who has any real musical taste or inclination isn't going to like my playlist.
Like, is songs like Juicy Booty and
oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I love that stuff. Shake Your Money Maker. Love that stuff. So okay. Anyway, so that was my question to you. Like, what's on your playlist now? Are you listening to anything new? I have new stuff, but it's stuff that's probably not very worthwhile.
Not worth it. Let's see. I listened to the B-52's Radio. So that was like all 80s alternative stuff.
Right. What are some of your stations on your iTunes Radio?
Okay, I've got that. Regina mm-hmm. Spektor. I listen to her.
Okay.
Kate Micucci, who is one part of the comedy group Garfunkel and Oates.
Okay.
Oh, that's who they are. Moby Radio. Moby is kind of a techno music. Jonathan Colton. Yep. Let's see here. I've got, the Beatles, of course. I've got A-Team Radio, which is like TV theme songs.
Oh, fun. Okay.
It is fun. I've got a workout one. Here, this one will get me in trouble. I'm Too Sexy, which is Right Said Fred Radio.
You have a Right Said Fred station?
I do. Oh, dear. Well, you know, I wanted that upbeat music. That's what I was looking for. You know, every time I turn on that station, it's the same freaking song. Every time, it's the I'm Too Sexy song. Every time I turn it on.
Well, that's the only song they have, Jed. There's not a big repertoire to choose from on the Right Said Fred portfolio.
Well, but it's supposed to be his music plus other people. It's supposed to be a mix of
of that genre. Well, what else is there? The I'll Tumble For You Culture Club guy? Like, there's
Yeah, I don't know.
That's pretty narrow niche right there.
I know. So I don't know what to do.
Now, do you listen to any country music?
Bite your tongue, woman.
That's the other thing I do that is a musical sin, is I like country music. I don't like all of it. And I don't necessarily love the, you know, she thinks my tractor's sexy kind of thing, but I like songs that tell a story. And you get that more in country music than you do in regular music, in my opinion.
We just had the equivalent of Coachella here in Brevard County, Florida, this weekend.
Okay.
It was 3 days. They call it Runaway Country. And the guy from The Voice.
Blake Shelton?
Blake Shelton was here for 3 days doing his
show. He's super dreamy.
Is he dreamy?
He's super dreamy. You don't have to like his music to not know that he's super handsome.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, he could strum my guitar anytime because he is super cute.
They had lots of that business going on. And then I was told I should have been there because it just was a booty shorts hot weekend of
it's Daisy Dukes drinking, you know, rebel flag flying bullshit thing, sure. There's no, you know.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah, no, I think I missed out. That's the reason that I should listen to that stuff. It's to, you know, if I want to pick up that kind of girl, I guess that's what I got to do.
I think there's some great country music and there's some awful country music, but there's, you know, there's that good and bad in everything, right?
I mean, I like Sheryl Crow.
I don't want to be closed off.
Huh?
Yeah, not really.
No?
Not really. I mean, she's crossed over in some ways, but not 100%. But okay. That's all right. All right. Let's move on.
Well, I didn't get to tell you. I did see a concert this weekend.
Oh, yes. Who was your concert?
I saw the B-52s.
Oh, that's right.
At
now,
Universal
do they have a lot of songs that we should all know?
No. unless you're a fan.
Rock Lobster and Love Shack, right?
Correct. And Rome.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Rome, if you want to.
Rome, if you
And yes. then they yes. played Girl from Ipanema. From Ipanema. Yeah. And and then they played some songs off their new music, their new album. And,
right, which nobody wants to hear.
Oh, that's not true. Their new stuff's even better than their old stuff in a lot of ways, in this person's opinion. Okay. Their new album, as a matter of fact, is called...
It had to be... Everybody in the audience had to be your age or older, right? Nobody was there in their 20s.
There were people that were young, but they didn't know what they were getting themselves into.
I was going to say, their parents brought them then, because there's no way.
Yeah. It's called the Funplex is their latest album, and that's pretty good. Okay. They sing Lava, which I think is pretty popular. Let's see, what else did they play? They played, they did play the Funplex theme song, which was really good.
What is that? Number 97 with a bullet to 96. Like no one's buying music these days and they're not, I've never heard this. I listen to the radio. I've never heard B-52's current music. Have you?
Well, I listen to it, so
I mean,
you know what the thing is?
Your finger is on the zeitgeist and mine isn't.
Well, you know what? I think I get alerts because they're my artist, one of my favorite artists. So iTunes tells me, hey, one of your artists just popped another CD out. Are you care to get it? I'm force-fed it. They had an album that called Good Stuff that came out after that other album. Let's see here. With, the Love Shack one. And right. it was called Cosmic Thing that had Love Shack. And a lot of people didn't probably catch on to it, but it had some pretty good music on there. A lot of good exercise music. Love Shack?
Right. You can't go wrong with that. Yeah. Good beat. Great karaoke tune. Everybody knows it.
And it was a real place. That's what people don't know. The Love Shack was the story that they tell is a real story about this highway that you'd take out to in Georgia to a real place called the Love Shack. It was a place where musicians went to go jam. It was. Yeah, it was a jam session place and it was called the Love Shack and it was out in Georgia off the highway and it's actually been knocked down now. But yeah. True story. A lot of people don't know.
No, I never knew that.
They thought it was just a place to fuck. Not the case.
Hey, a girl can dream.
Now, I'm sure there was some fucking going on there. Come on. They're artists. Musicians.
They're artists, yes. They have to express themselves.
Yes. Okay. So, did we cover all the music that we could cover?
I think we've covered it all.
Except for one
note,
last thing.
Note to note. Yeah.
Okay. So I have one last thing to talk about, which is my new Apple Watch. Myself a brand new Apple Watch here. I got the pre-launch Apple Watch, also known as the 6th generation iPod Nano. And being a fanboy, I'm the anti-fanboy because as much as I like Apple stuff, I am not a fan of the new watch. I don't like the fact...
It doesn't seem to have a point.
3 to 18 hours of battery life, $10,000 for the high-end version. And what's it do? It does heart rate monitoring? I mean, seriously. They used to sell this iPod that I have here in my hand that I'm showing Teresa. And it was $150, brand spanking new. And you could get a watch band for the thing and make it a watch. And it was designed to be one because the software on this device has watch faces on it. So that was always the intent. So Apple took this form factor and made a new watch. That's what they did.
I don't know why they did this. We both love all things Apple. I am proudly staring at my new iPhone 6 Plus right now as we Skype. And I am so glad I got the giant expanded six. I can see it from space along with the Great Wall of China. It's that big. And I love every single square centimeter of it. I want big display. And the watch is that little tiny face. It's on your, like, there's no way I'm going to use it in a way that's meaningful or $10,000 worth of meaningful. I don't get what the big draw is. Just because it's small?
As a watch, it's great.
But in a world where people don't wear watches anymore because that's what they have their cell phones for, it just seems counterintuitive and sort of a step back.
It really is. Because, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I work today to dinner and I have my Fitbit and I don't want to wear two wearables.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be forced into the Fitbit no matter what.
Well, yeah, you're wearing your Fitbit for your work insurance stuff too, right?
Yeah. So why would I give that up so I can wear the Apple one? And the Nano does steps. I can actually do Nike Plus with this Nano.
Right. But it's always running in the background. Does it decrease battery life significantly?
Well, it only runs in the background, I think, if I make it do it. I don't think it does it all the time.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I have to learn. I got to learn more about this.
I just think that it's a weird device to add to your repertoire.
Yeah.
Whenever, and so what you bought for $110 or whatever is absolutely all you would need. You don't need $10,000 worth of Apple phone.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. I mean, this does have a pedometer. I can turn it on and have it count steps as I walk. This little pedometer thing. What's nice is I can clip it to my belt if I want. I can listen
instead of wearing it on your wrist.
Yeah. It has a radio built in, so I can listen to actual broadcast radio. I can load up some photos on here. You can pull up your playlists on here.
Yeah, but you're also looking at, you know, larger than a postage stamp, but not much larger than a watch face, because that's what it is. So I just don't see the interface being valuable. And especially for me, someone who's gone big, I'm never going back little again. I will be big. I'm
that's just scary stuff.
I'm telling you, it's the best thing ever. And I don't know why anyone would go small.
There's a picture of me getting my submarine stuff.
It's nice that you can have that, but I have it in my pocket on my phone.
I don't need it on my
wrist. So
yeah, I do too.
I think it's a miss. I don't get it. And certainly a miss with that price tag.
Even $399 or $350 or whatever they're selling the cheapest one for.
Yeah, it needs to be way less expensive than the iPhone, and it's just not.
No, it is not. It's not a price point that it's an accessory. It's more expensive than the phone in some cases. I'm not sold. I'm just not.
I'm not either. And I mean, we bleed Apple products and we, you know, shill for them all the time on this show. And I just don't love it.
I mean, I'm looking at my stuff on here. I mean, you could barely see it, but like that's a class photo. I mean,
it's like I know what I'm looking at.
I mean, you can even zoom. It's kind of cool. You know, you can actually zoom in on stuff, but not so much. You know, you can only zoom so much before.
Yeah, cutting edge is generally the best term for anything Apple does, and it's just not. It's just not.
I mean, you can kind of see. I zoomed in on that picture, but I mean, you're really gonna have to like. You know, where's the magnifying glass?
Yeah, I need a monocle to see this. Not for me.
And I know this is the size of the watch face. And I'm thinking, who the fuck is going to draw on one? Because I remember they were like, this is the coolest thing. You could put a little heart here and then hit send. And it will go to the heartbeat to your friend.
Nobody's doing that. It's a miss for sure.
It's a gimmick. You know, Steve Jobs is probably rolling over in his grave right now going,
I know,
you motherfuckers, you motherfuckers.
What's going to come out next? The Apple typewriter? I mean, this is a step back. We don't need any more step backs.
The Apple typewriter. I love it.
The iType.
You know? We should get.
And I wear a watch every day, and I feel naked when I don't have my watch on. I'm that addicted to wearing my watch every day.
What kind of watch do you wear?
It's a regular old fashioned wristwatch. It's not digital.
Like a Seiko.
It's not that nice. It's a Fossil brand.
Oh, okay. No, that's nice. I like that.
You know, and it's got fake sparkly things on it, and it's big, so I can see it with my old age eyes. Mm-hmm. But it's a regular watch, and I don't need all those gadgets. And like you said, wearing a Fitbit already, mm-hmm. I've got enough stuff strapped on. I don't need a strap on anymore.
Hey, now.
On that note.
Wow. It's a good thing it happened at the end of the show, because you know I'm not going to play that one at the end. Yes, it's fantastic. All this great technology and nobody needs it.
I'm glad I'm feeling free to criticize it all, since I could never make it. But I do use it and consume a lot of it, so I want it to be what I want.
Isn't that really it? Because... just not to belabor our conversation on this, but Apple has always been about creating something that you didn't know you had a need for, and then all of a sudden you need
mm-hmm.
it. Are we going to really feel that way about this watch?
No, I
don't see it, because they gave us this phone and said, you don't need a watch anymore.
Exactly.
You know what they're going to do is they're going to take this fucking number off the front of our phone. They're going to take the time off the thing and make it inconvenient. And that's how they're going to fuck us into feeling like we have to go buy a watch.
We're going to get Steve Jobs.
And if they do that, they're going to sell a whole lot of Android phones.
There you go.
That's how it'll happen. Never. Right. Either that, or they're going to just sell regular old watches again, which that would suck too. So, all right. Well, shall we end our show now on that note?
Let's wrap it up. Yeah. Okay.
So we talked about Monica Lewinsky and all of her awesomeness. We talked about the bubble run and exercise. We talked about crap you get in the mail and the loot crate, which I find very cool and fun. State of Music, what's going on there? What are you listening to? And then Judd's retro Apple Watch.
Your Nanu Nanu Nano.
Nanu Nanu, yes. Yes.
Right.
All right. Well, you must be tired as all could be. And what time is it? About 8:30 over there?
It's late for me. I'm going to turn into a pumpkin.
Really?
Later for you.
I know. I'm going to go drink a whole bottle of water and go to bed.
So
wake up in about 3 hours.
I love it.
All right. Well, you take care, and everybody have a great Tuesday. And we will, for TJ Talks, I am Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
And we will chat with you later.
I'll get you later. I don't need a strap on anymore.